The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, here's kind of a thought-provoking question for you, because we're so myopic, are we not? As American Christians, evangelicals in America, we're so myopic, meaning we're so American-focused, we're so American-centric. And whether we're talking about politics, because everybody's talking about Virginia this week, and then we're still talking about Donald Trump, and we're still talking about COVID and lockdowns and vaccines and masking and all that stuff. We're still talking to a certain extent about January 6th earlier this year and the trouble at the Capitol building. We're still talking about last year's election, and now we're talking about next year's election. There's so many things. We're very American-centric. So from a biblical perspective, or from a Great Commission perspective, is the American church, are we just done with foreign missions? That's not really our problem anymore. And there's other churches around the world, and there's some other church movements around the world that are doing well, and we've been carrying everybody's water when it comes to the Great Commission. So are we just kind of out of that business? We're not going to do foreign missions anymore. I used to be hot to trot for foreign missions. I've been on four myself. I've been to Kenya twice. I've been to Thailand. I've even been to northern Iraq. I was on fire for foreign missions myself, and went out there, took my son with me when he was 15. He went with me when we went to northern Iraq. But then that kind of ebbs and flows. And I've talked about foreign missions. I've had people on the show talking about foreign missions. But it's not nearly as big on my radar screen as it used to be. Does that make me, by definition, perhaps a dereliction of duty? Am I a bad Christian? And what are we doing in America when it comes to foreign missions? And we're not going to talk about it today on Theology Thursday, in terms of we're going to guilt trip you into this, because you guys, you Americans, are living your soft, cushy lives here. But there's people around the world dying of starvation and in poverty that have never heard the gospel. And the numbers really are quite alarming as we look around the world, because you've got nearly 5,000 people groups. Really, who's Jesus? What's the gospel? Don't know anything about that. Listen to this. Christian adherents, less than or equal to 0.1%, are out there that can share the gospel with their neighbors. A quarter of the world population has almost no chance of hearing about Jesus from someone in their own people group. Over 1,600 people groups in the 1040 window, that's kind of a longitude latitude thing, do not have any scripture in their primary language. Evangelicals, that would be us, Bible-believing Christians, are only about 8-9% of the world's population. And only one missionary, get this, there's one missionary for every 216,000 unreached people in the world. And people that are coming off the mission field, we're not talking about as much, we're not going as much. Is that a problem, or are we kind of post-foreign missions here in America? Theology Thursday with our friends at Bob Jones Seminary, as well as Bob Jones University. Brian Trainer is joining us with us today, who's serving as a professor of Bible teaching in many different capacities at BJU, and teaching a lot of different things, homiletics and leadership seminars, survey of missions, the gospels, theology of missions and evangelism. But he also speaks from experience. Brian and his wife have been to over 40 different countries. He's lived on the mission field. He's lived in India and lived in China. He's led over the last 20, 25 years, over 1,500 students on the foreign mission field. So this is something that's very passionate. But is it something that the rest of us should be passionate? That's the question and what we'll wrestle with today. And what do we do about it? Brian, welcome to the show. How are you?
Hey, it's great to be here, Steve. And it's good to actually speak to someone who's willing to admit that they're a derelict in the Great Commission.
Well, thank you for acknowledging my honesty and my dereliction. I appreciate that word of encouragement. But we have a lot to talk about. And by the way, friends, I already posted this on Facebook, but I'll post it again. Just a great blog post over at BJU on this particular issue, boldly battling missions headwinds, which we're talking about, because it is suffering. Foreign missions in America is suffering, and that means missions around the world is suffering. So we got a lot to get through today. But Brian, obviously, you have a particular passion for foreign missions. You teach it. You live it. You've been there, India and China. How did that happen for you? How did you become so passionate about foreign missions?
Yeah, and for me, it's very personal. I didn't accept Christ until my freshman year of college. Mm-hmm. I did so just by reading through the New Testament. I actually had a friend who challenged me to sit down, read through the New Testament, and then come back and look at him in the eye and say it had no impact on my life.
Wow.
And I got through the Gospel of Matthew one time, first time I'd ever read the totality of a gospel. And it just struck me. I went back and started reading through Matthew actually a second time and got to Matthew 18 that speaks about the 99 in the fold and the one that was lost. And at that point in time, it wasn't an audible voice of God, but it was clear working of the Holy Spirit within my life that I was the one that was lost and the Holy Spirit and Christ was the one that was looking for me. So I accepted Christ my freshman year of college, and right after that, had the opportunity of actually going overseas on my first mission trip.
Wow.
And I'll simply say it changed my life. It expanded my horizons as to what God is doing in the world. And that was kind of the foundation that set a fire at that point. And then following that, there were just a series of events that took place, numerous mission trips. And believe it or not, just the reading of missionary biographies, something I'll probably talk a little bit later on as we get toward the end of of the show. But Adoniram Judson's biography written by Courtney Anderson, To the Golden Shore, that book absolutely captured me my junior year of college. And I simply stopped and went, you know, life is short. And life is ministry, and ministry is global. And so it's time to start thinking outside of my own comfort zone and my own horizon at that point. So that was really the start of it more than anything else.
Yeah, and then how long did you live in India and China?
I lived in India for at that point, visas only allowed for about 6 months. And so I was in and out in 6 month stints, went right after grad school. Interestingly enough, at that point, I was single. And ministries here in the States weren't accepting any level of single pastor.
Wow.
And so an Indian came to my church and simply said, we're looking for theology teachers. And I went to him and I said, yeah, I'd love to come. And his first question was, do you have a wife? And I thought, oh, no, here we go again. I'm going to answer no, and the door is going to be closed. And I said, no, sir, I don't. And he looked at me and he said, good, because where you're going, no woman could handle it.
Oh, man.
And within weeks, I was on a plane and living in India. Time of my life, great time.
And then what about China?
Been to China for about 2.5 years, have taken about 40 to 50 trips in and out of China. Obviously, the limitations right now in particular on living there. But my perspective of China isn't in just one location. It's really the joy of being, if I can say it this way, national, and to be in multiple different provinces and to be involved in pastoral training and in connecting students and facilitating educational opportunities.
Yeah, so we've got a lot to talk about and unpack. We're going to talk about a lot of different factors that are created a situation in America where foreign missions is pretty much stalled out. Maybe it's even in a free fall. So we're going to unpack what's going on there, what's happening in the American church that's kind of taking us off the foreign mission field. A lot of alarming, troubling things there. And the question, are we all called to this or just some of us? This is Steve Noble on Theology Thursday. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, Theology Thursday, with our friends at Bob Jones Seminary and Bob Jones University as well. Occasionally, we dip into that pool of giftedness down there. We're doing that today. Brian Trainer's with us. He's a professor in the Bob Jones University School of Religion, but really a focus, not just educationally, but from a lifestyle perspective, from an experiential perspective, and just a burden that the Lord's clearly laid on his heart, really starting when he got saved in the first place, for foreign missions. And so that's kind of what we're unpacking today is the age of foreign missions for the church in America over? We're obviously kind of stalled out on that one. Are we in a free fall? Are we moving backwards? I mean, I asked the question, are we done with foreign missions here in the American church? Because we're so American-centric. We focus on our own issues and our own problems, whether it's COVID or whatever. But as Christians, how much attention should we be giving to the foreign mission field? What's going on there? Do we have a role to play? Or do we just hire people to go do it for us? So there's a lot to work through today. We appreciate you being here, Brian, and taking the time with us.
Great. Thanks. It's great to be here.
You're very welcome. So obviously, this is a big problem. So I want to just revisit that one question because I think it's important. We talk about foreign missions. We talk about missionaries. And then we talk generally about all of us Christians and the Great Commission. So do we kind of delineate, Brian? Should we kind of break down or look in the mirror and say, okay, which one am I? I don't think most of us are called to be foreign missionaries. But should we, if we're not called to be a foreign missionary, does that mean we're off the hook when it comes to foreign missions in general? Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it does. And I think that the use of the term missionary, there's a generic use of it within the evangelical church. And again, you'll hear pastors and you'll hear others say that everyone is a missionary.
Right.
And I think in communicating that, it's a good-hearted way of saying we should all be sharing the gospel. I actually think that the term missionaries is more technical than that. It's not found within the New Testament. It's actually found within the Latin Vulgate. And it's the translation of the word apostle. Hmm. And it speaks specifically of an individual who is a sent one, meaning that they have a sender and that they have a task. So I would suggest that a missionary is one that a local church sends out with the task of reproducing local churches. So in a technical sense, not everyone is a missionary. That said, to your question, that doesn't take us off the hook at all. I would go as far as saying that disinterest in missions is sin. Mm-hmm. We should all either be going, we should be sending, or we should be supporting. And that support can look like financial support, it can look like prayer support, but we have to be engaged in the mission of the church. I think Christ makes that clear in the New Testament.
Yeah, and that's the real challenge, because back in the day, I mentioned that I'd been on several foreign mission trips. I've been to Kenya a couple of times, I've been to Thailand, I was in northern Iraq. And generally, I would go, that would be 7 or 8 days in country, I'd come back, and then I would kind of check that off. Hey, I mean, I'm better than most Christians in America because they've never gone. But at least I went, right? And I'd check it off. But it wasn't like it was a consistent thing. It was kind of like this, up and down. Oh, I'm going to go. And then I come back and I get in my little rut and I take care of my life, and which isn't necessarily wrong. But then all of a sudden something would get on my radar screen. Okay, now I'm going to go back. But this challenge, I think, is there anything we're doing consistently to impact the spread of the gospel and making disciples throughout the entire world, either, like you said, Brian, either through prayer, through sending, or supporting in one way or another? I think for most of us, the answer to that is, I'm not really touching the foreign mission field at all.
Yeah. And that, to me, that's my concern. Mm. My concern is not necessarily that everyone goes. It's the reality that not a lot of people are thinking about it anymore. Yeah. And the fact that they're not thinking about it, and you mentioned this even in your intro, and I think it's especially true in the last 18 months. COVID hits, basically everyone shuts down. A lot of missionaries are coming off the field back to the United States. Yeah. And anytime you have events like this, we just become very ethnocentric at that point. Everything becomes focused on ourselves.
Yeah.
This last week we celebrated Reformation Sunday. And from a church history perspective, the reformers actually were very poor when it came to missions. Mm. And the reason why is they were all focused on their own battle.
Right.
And they were fighting for the survival of the church with justification by faith. So they weren't thinking externally. And I think that's a danger that we all fall in. When the battle around us gets hot, we have a tendency to put blinders on.
Yeah, so we're basing some of our conversation today. Welcome back. It's Theology Thursday with our friends at Bob Jones University and Bob Jones Seminary. And Brian Traynor is with us. He's a professor at the Bob Jones University School of Religion. We're kind of basing this off of a blog post that just went up earlier today on the seminary viewpoints. I've got the links to that up on Facebook Live, Boldly Battling Mission Headwinds, because they're definitely there. And one of the issues that you've alluded to this several times, we just have a lot fewer workers. There's a lot fewer people going on the foreign mission field or even interested. Isn't that the reality?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's been seen over the last 20 years, where 20 years ago it became stagnant, and now there's actually been a consistent decline as far as numbers are concerned. And the reasons are complex and at the same time, at some level, relatively simple to understand.
Now this is going to sound a little contrarian, but has the fact that, because I think over the last 50 or 75 years, it's kind of been an explosion in short-term mission trips. So we're going to take 20 people, 30 people. I mean, you mentioned earlier you've taken over 1,500 students on short-term missionary trips. Is that part of the problem in an interesting way that we're kind of, hey, well, we've done some of that stuff, but we're not thinking about long-term commitments?
Yeah, short-term trips are both a blessing and a bane. They're a blessing in that they expose individuals to what God's doing in the world and they get them outside of their own comfort zone. So all of those things I think can be very helpful, and certainly they can be an encouragement to missionaries that are on the field. The bane side of it is they can become Christian tourism. You go, you take pictures, and right. The one thing I hate about short-term trips is, and on any team that I lead, no one's ever allowed to take a selfie. Because individuals to go on
what
short-term
a great
trips,
point.
They take selfies with all the nationals and with all the sites,
right.
And they go home and
oh,
they check
at
that
me.
Box.
Yeah. Yeah, that I love that. And that's for adults. That's not just for a bunch of 13-year-olds. So that's a really powerful point. Speaking of younger people, obviously there is a movement, Gen Z and millennials particularly, are all about humanitarian causes. And from a Christian standpoint, hey, man, there's all kinds of humanitarian causes we need to be involved in. We can do all that kind of stuff. But we leave the gospel behind. Is that one of the issues as well?
Yeah. And the Bible is very clear. We should do good to all men. Mm. So digging wells in Africa so they have water, good thing. Helping them with free trade coffee, I understand those opportunities. But I'll simply say that's not the Great Commission. And at times, those good things can actually steal from biblically better things and biblically right things. And they're stealing energy, they're stealing focus, they're stealing money, if I can phrase it that way.
Sure.
And to me, it's not an either or. It can be a both and. But there should be a priority, I think, from a biblical perspective for New Testament church planting and for the reproduction of the gospel in foreign cultures.
Do you think there's, and I've run into this myself, I think there's an increasing number or an increasing percentage of evangelicals even that are afraid to really boldly deal with the gospel because it brings you into the exclusive claims of Jesus Christ. And right now in this world, especially in the American context, man, that is not popular at all. So I think a lot of people are just afraid of saying that, hey, Jesus is the only way. Ooh, boy, that's going to box me into a corner.
Yeah, and believe it or not, that's actually one of the reasons why I think short-term trips are valuable. Because what happens is we get over into a country like China or India or Turkey, and you actually see national Christians living out their faith. Mm. They don't have that same fear.
Yeah.
And yet their persecution is real.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, we're put to shame, and I think appropriately so.
Well, I don't want to get unfriended, Brian. I mean, that could be the end of my existence on the social media world. Talking to Brian Traynor, he's a professor at Bob Jones University School of Religion. Foreign missions has its day come and gone for us Americans. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. It is Theology Thursday with our friends at Bob Jones Seminary and Bob Jones University. Talking to Brian Traynor today, who's a professor there in the Bob Jones University School of Religion. Just a reminder, like when I've mentioned the blog post from today, and the blog post, there's a blog post that goes on the Viewpoint blog at the BJU Seminary. There's a blog post that accompanies us every Thursday. So this Thursday, as we talk about boldly battling missions headwinds, last Thursday we talked about King James Version onlyism, which got a lot of interesting responses. I heard from a lot of people on that one. Before that, we were talking about addiction. Then we were talking about biblical manhood and biblical womanhood. We also have pastoral resources available there. So we've gone down a lot of different roads. We'll continue to do that every Thursday. The easiest way for you to see all that is our friends at BJU Seminary actually set up a webpage to make it easier. It's just seminary.bju.edu. That's the seminary address. seminary.bju.edu/radio. Okay, that's it. And you land there and you're going to find all these blog posts. You're also going to find pastors for you that are listening. You're going to find pastoral resources there. I've also got a link on Facebook Live today to the All In Daily community, which is a pastoral community for pastors only on Facebook. And there's all kinds of resources there to help you in your job as a pastor and resources to use with your congregation as well. So that's why we do this, to glorify God, to talk to each other in the radio audience, Facebook Live, to use this kind of wisdom and talent that they have at the seminary and the university as well to bless all of us, because the vast majority of us, the overwhelming majority of us, are not in seminary, and we're not even in university classes anymore. So when we can bring professors of Brian's caliber in here every Thursday, to me, that's a no-brainer. That's why I've done Theology Thursday for years, is to tap into that, because otherwise it's just reserved for the students that are there. But I think all of us need that kind of training. But there's a lot of resources for pastors and churches as well. So go to that website. It's super easy to get to, seminary.bju.edu/radio. And again, Brian, thanks for being with us today. It's just a great topic.
Great. Thanks, Steve.
You're welcome. Well, one of the things you mentioned earlier, like China, there's a lot of countries, especially the unreached peoples, are in very difficult countries because they're closed countries. So when we think about closed countries, especially countries in the Middle East, do we just have to, at this point, because of the political realities on the ground, should we just kind of say, we can't really go there anymore?
Yeah, it's funny. Missiologists have kind of changed the lingo from restricted access countries and closed access countries to creative access countries.
Mm. I like that.
Because that concept of can sounds a whole lot better than ran. I think my answer to that is, one, we can't just say no, because that is where the bulk of the unreached people groups are. I think 55% of the frontier people groups are Islamic, and 45% of them are Hindu. So that's where the gospel needs to get.
Yeah.
But to get there, we're going to have to use creative means, which means that the way that we train young people or future missionaries has to be different. So many missionaries or so many countries now, if you have missions on your diploma, you're not going to make it into the country. You'll never get a visa.
Yeah.
So thinking in terms of businesses missions, thinking in terms of training other nationalities, and Filipinos and Indians and the Chinese, they can go anywhere in the world. So actually setting up training institutions in the Philippines and then allowing them to go into the Middle East and allowing them to go into some of these countries that we don't have easy access to, I think there's lots of creative ways that we can fulfill the Great Commission in areas that Americans don't naturally have access right now.
Yeah, so talking about that, what about the role of social media, the digital realm, the internet? Because we can communicate with people all around the world. We don't have to show up there to get to them, Brian. We can just reach them on the internet. Has that been a problem in terms of foreign missions' feet on the ground?
It has. Technology is a great tool. So I think getting the gospel in all of those social media platforms is incredibly a valid way of getting the gospel in. But at the same time, we have to remember that the Great Commission ultimately has to be incarnated. It has to be fleshed out with real people. And so getting people on the ground is still a vital need, just purely from an economics perspective. And I hear people saying this. And you actually hear other countries saying, Americans, don't send your people anymore. They're too expensive and they're too clumsy. Just send us a check.
Yeah.
And for what it costs to support one American missionary, and we can support 20 nationals. And my response to that is economically that makes sense. And I think that there's some balance that could be had
there.
Sure,
sure.
But ultimately, the Great Commission is go, make disciples. And so we're not off the hook just by sending a check.
Yeah. And I think everybody needs to put this in a current context. I think we've all learned the lessons of masking and Zoom and not being in person. You cannot replicate in a Zoom like this. You and I sitting in a room doing a radio show together would be very different than us doing it on Zoom. There's just a contact and a personalness and a sharing the same physical space that cannot be replicated. I don't care if you're using virtual reality or what you're using. You cannot replicate it. We all know that now because I asked kids this week in my classes, Brian, the ones that I teach here for high school homeschoolers, give me something really specific that you're thankful for this year as we're coming up on Thanksgiving. And a bunch of them said meeting in person. Because you cannot replicate that on Zoom. Digital, social media, you cannot do that. That's a problem for a lot of young people. So we have to be face-to-face. You have to be on the ground with people in order to disciple people properly. I think that's a big deal. You mentioned economics. We don't give much. We don't give much in general. So I would imagine that's probably hurting the foreign missions effort.
Across the board. And I saw, and I can't validate this, but I saw the number the other day that Americans spent more money on Halloween costumes for their pets than they actually give to missions in a given year. And though I can't validate that with empirical data, it wouldn't surprise me at all if that's not the case. And so, again, part of it is the crisis mentality that we have during a COVID.
Yeah.
Part of it is a transition of leadership within Washington that provokes hesitation within our parts. And part of it, just quite honestly, is just a simple materialism where we just need to have that next thing that our neighbors have.
Yeah, that's right.
And the process of all that just cuts off what God's doing in the world from a financial perspective.
Now, one of the things we talk about as American evangelicals, we're talking to Brian Traynor here on Theology Thursday. He's a professor of Bible studies at the School of Religion at Bob Jones University, is the fact that, okay, hey, you know what? Nobody sent more missionaries. Nobody's given more money. Nobody puts more money into the foreign mission field than America. And now we look around and much of the church growth in the world, I'm talking to the universal church, is outside the confines of our country. So is it where we're thinking, Brian, that perhaps the baton has been passed? There's other church movements around the world. It's not like the evangelical church in America is the only one that's capable of this.
Yeah, and I hear that phrase, let's pass the baton. And I'm very hesitant about that because that suggests, again, that our role is over. So I don't like the figure of speech pass the baton, but I clearly like the idea of partnering with other nationals.
Yeah, yeah.
There's some discussion right now as to even which country sends out the most missionaries, whether it's the United States or whether it's Korea. I simply say that Korea, Brazil, Peru, Germany, Kenya, other countries are catching up with us. And I think that's a good thing. I love to see international partnerships form from a global perspective. At the same time, I still think that as the wealthiest country of the world, we certainly have a responsibility to lead in this area.
Yeah, what a great point. So as we look towards kind of what do we do about this, some kind of positive momentum as we come out of this, obviously identifying the problem and what's behind it. In the blog post today, Boldly Battling Missions Headwinds, that whole idea of a headwind thinks of sailing, and so you can have a headwind that can actually be turned into an advantage. So we'll unpack this for the rest of the show. But as we move into this, it kind of has to be intentional, doesn't it? We know we've got a problem, but we have to intentionally address it in order to make some progress.
Yeah, and that's where I think I'd love to see pastors, and I'll speak to them first and foremost because I am one.
Yeah.
Pastors have to take the lead on this. And we have to go out in front of the congregations and remind people of Great Commission living. From a personal perspective of sharing the gospel with your neighbor, even to the extent of reaching multi-ethnic groups within our own community. Again, within our church, within our community, we have a lot of Hispanics, we have a lot of Chinese, we have a lot of Indians, actually a lot of French and Germans, and the question is, how are we going to reach them to begin with? And then I think we need to become very selective about proactively going to young people in particular and saying, would you consider missions? I think we've been far too passive in challenging the next generation as it relates to foreign missions.
Yeah, because that's what drove me to the mission field in the first place. It was a study I did that was, I think, Experiencing God by Blackaby. And, you know, it's kind of, hey, look where God's at work. And when you notice that's your invitation to go with it, I had issues with the other parts of that study. But that one really was kind of softened up the soil. And then I was at a church at the time that was really active in foreign missions. But that was the pastor calling us all to engage, at least to go on a short-term foreign mission, which really changed everything for me. And by the way, we've got some pastoral resources. That's going to be at the website as well, seminary.bju.edu/radio to help you and your church or your pastors. If most of us aren't pastors that are watching or listening today, but share this information with your pastors, especially like the All In daily page on Facebook. That's specifically for pastors with all kinds of resources. Pastors can be a very difficult job. We're shrinking. The pastorate is shrinking. We've got more pastors over 60 than we do over under 40, which is why the seminary and Bob Jones Seminary is doing the 500x5x5 to crank out more and more pastors over the next generation. But it's got to start in the pulpit. But what about the rest of us? We'll get into that when we come back. Theology Thursday, Brian Traynor is with us. This is Steve Noble. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, Theology Thursday with our friends at Bob Jones University and the Bob Jones Seminary. Bob Jones University is who Brian Traynor is teaching at now, a professor in the BJU School of Religion. We're talking about foreign missions today. Are we done with that in America? Is that are we kind of post-foreign missions in the American church? And we're really struggling with it. It's definitely stalled out. Is it in a free fall? Yeah, to a certain extent it is. And we've been talking about how did we get there, but now we're talking about kind of moving forward and really looking at something that is on the blog post today, which I've shared the links for on the Facebook Live page, and I shared it on my regular page as well, so you can check that out and get over to the blog and read it for yourself, where a lot of this information that we're sharing today is coming straight from the blog post, which is really, really helpful and thought-provoking. But talking about this windward vision for the seminary in particular, but for all of us as Christians. And so as we kind of look at this, you mentioned it starts in the pulpit with the pastor really helping us understand Great Commission. You mentioned this earlier, a missionary supporting, sending, going, but we all have a role to play. And then we're only going to learn that, I think, from the pulpit, aren't we?
I think it has to be modeled in the pulpit. You know, having missionary speakers in, it used to be every church had a missions conference every year.
Yep.
I don't see that happening anymore. And Sundays become very territorial for pastors, and I understand part of the reason why. At the same time, I think churches would actually be helped by catching a global vision on what's happening.
Oh, absolutely. Well, on that front, kind of the second point in this plan is a renewed inspiration to even advance the gospel. I don't know. This is one of the challenges. I'm kind of a recovering culture warrior. So one of the challenges, I think, here in America, we talk about we got to save America. And we don't often think about seeing Americans saved. And if we're not thinking much about seeing our neighbors saved, I don't think we're thinking much about seeing anybody saved around the world. So don't we need kind of a renewed inspiration to advance the gospel? I mean, right now we kind of get in a hunker down survive mentality, I think.
Yeah, and I think one of the things, and I'll go kind of from the pastor and from the pulpit into the family. I would love to see parents reignite with their students and reengage with their students, with their children. On let's start reading missionary biographies. Let's start having missionaries in our home. Let's start praying for them on a regular basis. Those types of things will make a deep impact on a child from elementary school all the way through. And I think one of the things we realized through that process is that America has actually had difficult days in the past. And those difficult days did not slow down the advance of the gospel. It actually spurred the advance of the gospel. And so it keeps our vision where it ought to keep it. And so making missionaries heroes again, both historic ones and even current ones, I think will help inspire that vision for the gospel.
We're a 17-year homeschool family. Our youngest of four is a junior, so we're almost done with that season. But when our kids were a lot smaller, we have a whole shelf full of easy-to-read missionary biographies. And so they heard all these stories when they were really young. But I think most of us don't know much about that. So I was going to ask you, Brian, we're talking to Brian Trainer from Bob Jones University School of Religion. If you would suggest to us like three or four missionaries that would be a good start to really kind of light a fire under us or hopefully inspire us, what missionary biographies should we look into?
Yeah, I'll mention three or four, and at the same time, I'll make sure that they get on the blog site.
All right, great. Excellent.
So if you don't catch them, they're available.
Perfect.
I've already mentioned Adoniram Judson, who's considered kind of the first American missionary, went out to the country of Burma in 1812. There's a biography by Courtney Anderson, who's the author, and it's called To the Golden Shore. Yeah. Wonderful, wonderful biography. Quick read. Looks a little thick, but you would get through it quickly. Second, Amy Carmichael's biography, or the biography of Amy Mark Carmichael entitled A Chance to Die. It's actually written by Elizabeth Elliot, Jim Elliot gave his life in Ecuador. But Elizabeth is a phenomenal author, and her story of Amy Carmichael will just grab your heart. Wow. Actually, when I got engaged to my wife, I was just coming back from India, didn't have enough money to buy a diamond ring, so I gave her a dozen roses and that biography, A Chance to Die.
Wow.
And I thought that's about as romantic as I could be. So
let's go die together, honey, on the mission field.
So, and then anything on the life of Hudson Taylor. Yeah. Hudson Taylor, there's the simplest book is called Hudson Taylor's Spiritual Secrets. And again, short little book. Hudson Taylor was an Englishman who served in China, really opened the door for the inland of China. Well worth reading. And I could add probably three or four others to that without any hesitation that I'll put on the blog site for listeners.
Well, that's the inspiring part. You know, we talk about, hey, let's talk about the Avengers movie. Let's talk about Captain America. There's all kinds of movies that we see in popular culture that inspire us. You get emotional about it. But these are stories because I remember just sitting there listening when my wife was reading some of these stories and picking them up myself. And when I was taking classes for my master's degree at Southeastern Baptist Seminary, I just like this is like these are amazing stories. These are incredibly sacrificial people, brave people, and it's amazing to see what God did. So I think we need some of that. We need some inspiration, but then we need to make a commitment to it, don't we? It's one thing to be inspired, but we got to kind of take a step.
Yeah, and that is where and the simple cliche is we got to put our money where our mouth is. And that involves, obviously, from a budgetary perspective, that involves churches prioritizing missions again and re-engaging at that point. But I'll even go a little bit beyond that. I want to go back to the family just for a moment. I'll say this, and whether it's believed or not, I can tell you experientially it's the truth. When I interact with college students and I say, would you consider going overseas? The number one answer I hear is, my mom and dad told me I can't do that. My mom and dad have told me that it's too dangerous overseas, that they want their grandchildren close, that we need to have security and safety. And so part of commitment is prayer, it's money, but it's also releasing our children and our grandchildren and simply saying, God, you gave them to us, they're not ours, and we're going to give them back to you. And that might mean they're going to go give their lives overseas. And yeah. I can't think of anything that would be more painful and at the same time anything that would be more eternally rewarding than that.
Yeah, because I've seen I'm aware of many families who their sons and daughters, and even when they got married, took off and went to the foreign mission field, and they're having families and they're raising their kids, and they're 6,000, 7,000 miles away. I mean, it's a huge sacrifice, and it's a very difficult subject. But oftentimes, when I talk to parents about this, or even students, I'll say, you know, what do you do when your 12th grader, or your 11th grader, or 10th grader, high school student says, you know what, I really feel like the Lord's calling me to work with children, and I think I'm going to teach clarinet to 4th graders. And you know what happens? They're sitting there going, that's like $28,000 a year.
You're not going to make it.
You're not going to make it. That's not enough money. That's a nice thing to do, but maybe you should build a career first. And then stuff like that you should do on the side. I think that's a lot of Americanism that's crept into our understanding of mission. And so we put material success ahead of spiritual success. But I love that idea that, hey, they're not ours anyway. And we should be prodding that. And I think all of our kids, well, the two oldest ones both went on some mission trips to Canada with our church. I mentioned our oldest son who went with me to Iraq, and our daughter spent 30 days in India on a mission trip. Mm. And that's monumentally impactful. I mean, I don't even know that I can quantify that.
Yeah, she'll tell those stories to her children and to her grandchildren of what God did in those short 30 days. And to me, that's a priceless experience.
Yeah.
And so releasing our children, releasing our finances, releasing our energies toward what God is doing in the world today, to me, is a priority.
I want to go back to something, and I kind of want to finish this with this, but we're talking about enabling people on the ground where they live, enabling the natives, people that live there, the indigenous people, versus us going ourselves and considering the lost here in America and the lost around the world, especially the unreached people groups. As we finish up, just with a couple of minutes, help us, Brian, kind of land the plane and some questions maybe we need to give ourselves or look in the mirror and ask about our role in all of this. I just want to make sure we're propelling people forward as we finish up.
Yeah, even as we think about missions, we're not talking about going even necessarily to one place and living our whole lives there. The ultimate task of missions is to equip the nationals so that they can do the work of the ministry, so that they can lead their own churches, and so that they can support themselves. One of the worst things we do in missions, and we've done it historically, is colonialization, where we go in and kind of take control of a situation.
Yeah.
We're to go in as humble servants, sharing the message of the gospel, helping them to understand God's word, and then quite honestly, get out of the way. Let the Holy Spirit do the work with the Word of God. And what's so exciting is to see those national churches then take root and start reproducing. And to have the joy of actually seeing, if I can phrase it this way, spiritual grandchildren and great-grandchildren. Yeah. That's the multiply of the ministry of multiplication. And that's far better than just addition.
Yeah, that's such a great point. With again, I reference my homeschool students again. I haven't asked this question yet this year, but I'll get to it. I've asked in the past, I said, if you could ask Jesus one question, what would it be? And you get a bunch of interesting questions that come out of these high school students. And then eventually one of them will say, well, Mr. Noble, what would you ask him? And this still is this is still my answer. It's been my answer for 6 or 7 years now. I'd say, all right, Lord, I want to know which one of the disciples I can trace my salvation all the way back to. Huh. So now we're going 2,000 years of exactly what you just said, Brian.
Yeah.
So Paul is planting churches, which plant churches, which creates disciples, which creates more churches, which creates, and then this worldwide movement. And every single one of us that's a believer today can trace ourselves back to that somewhere in there. Is it Peter? Is it Paul? Who is it? And that's just amazing to me. And that's something that we all have a chance to be a part of that story moving forward. Or is that too aggressive?
Doesn't get better than that.
Yeah, that's a pretty cool thing, and that's why we're all called to be a part of this. Brian Traynor, professor at the Bob Jones University School of Religion. Hold on just a second, Brian, because we're going to pray with everybody on Facebook Live and YouTube Live when we're done. But thank you so much for being with us today. It's been a great honor and a pleasure.
My joy. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Okay, friends, again, to go get the blog post, I put it up on my Facebook page. I put all the links there. That's a little easier, okay? So just go to the Steve Noble page on Facebook. You can look at the Facebook Live today. Share this so that other people can be involved in this conversation. Plus, you can get the link to the BJ Seminary, the Bob Jones Seminary radio page that has the Viewpoint blog, resources for pastors, all that's there. Just go to the Steve Noble page. This is Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show, Theology Thursday. God willing, we'll talk again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.